Would you turn to perhaps one of the most familiar portions of Scripture, Psalm 23. This is a part of our series, Knowing God Through His Names. Knowing God Through His Names, Psalms 23. As you're turning, three needs that have come to me through text. Of course, one of them is an ongoing need. Several of them are, but the little Madewell baby, Scarlett, in the hospital, needs prayer today. Sister Lawson, really sick today, just text in and would like us to pray for her. And then Brother Begley, his grandmother, he was especially close to, their have called the family in today and in Kentucky. And that family covets our prayers. Let's pray for the Begleys as well. Amen. Before we preach or read, could you stand across the building and let's pray for these needs and for the message today. Would you join me and let's join our hearts together. Father, we pray for this little baby, Lord, right now that you'd lay your hand upon her. Lord, that right now there'd be the change and the difference and the turning point. Heal her, O Lord, Lord. Be with mom and dad and strengthen them. God, we pray for the Begley family and that extended family. Lord, we pray that they would feel your faith and your grace and your nearness and your love and your presence. Lord, we pray for Sister Diane, Lord, that you would heal her right now in this service, that at home she would feel healing virtue in her body. Lord, we just pray, Lord, I know she'll give you the praise for it. Lord, the other needs that we have been representing before you, God, that you would be involved in every case and every situation. Lord, we pray for the remainder of this service that our hearts should be open to your truth. Lord, accomplish eternal things in our lives from young to old as a congregation as a whole, Lord. May we hear from heaven. May your presence increasingly become more real to us through the preaching of the word. God, anoint me to share your word. And may Jesus be glorified in all that's said and done. God, help us in the moment that we live to realize you are at work and you are our God and our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I feel the presence of the Lord here. Let's let him do something eternal in our hearts. I'm not going to read the whole psalm. I'm just going to read the opening of this psalm. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Using want in the terms, its meaning of lack. I shall not lack. Amen. That's a very personal expression. It uses a personal, first person, personal pronoun, my. I'll call attention to that in the message, but being so, everybody could read that this morning. Would you read it with me in unison? And it can be just between you and the Lord, a personal thing. But let's read it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We've learned Lord in all uppercase is Jehovah. So we have another compound name of Jehovah. Lord, Jehovah, shepherd is Rohi. Jehovah, Rohi. Jehovah Rohi, knowing God through his names. Thank you. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm interested in genealogy, and I was looking at that program, Finding Your Roots. And one of the guests is a very, very liberal comedian turned late night television show host, political commentator. And right off during interviews with him, he let it be known. He said, I do not believe in God. I do not believe in God. And I can't explain it because, you know, I'm not a real emotional fellow. But when he said, I don't believe in God, I felt such an incredible sadness for him. I just felt sad. And you say, well, why did you feel so sad? Because whether he believes it or not, and whether he feels it or not, for him to say, I don't believe there's a God, means that he is desperately alone in his world. He's desperately alone in the world. He's desperately alone in the universe. I want you to do that for me right now. Just try to conceive there being no God out there. No God in here. But just conceive there's no God. The point is, if there is no God, we are incredibly alone. A dog would have us, but if there's no God, whom do we have? Incredibly alone without God. And this may seem strange to you, but I felt so sad for that man. And I'm going to tell you something, because of his political stance and this and that, I really don't like the fella at all. But I felt so sad for him, Brother Cruz. I've been praying that he would encounter the God he doesn't believe in, encounter Jesus Christ. Oh, if he could just realize the Lord is my shepherd. Here is David the shepherd. He's alone on an isolated high plateau field. He has no other human companion. It's nighttime. He's so far away from civilization, he can't even see the lights from the fireplace of a distant village. Dark, no one there but the sheep. He looks up into the canopy of stars and realizes that they stretch on and on and on. The thought hits him, I'm all alone in this field up in the mountains. I'm all by myself. Falling on the heels of that came another thought. He said, wait a minute. All these sheep out here bedded down for the night, they're not alone because they have me as their shepherd. And the thought struck him. David thought to himself, what I am as a shepherd to these sheep, my God is to me. Therefore, I am not alone. Hallelujah. At that moment, David declared these words, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. You're in a classroom full of fellow students, but you feel alone. You're in a break room with co-workers. You feel alone. You're in a crowded store. You feel alone. You're in a house full of family. You feel alone. You're in a church full of people. You feel alone. You're alone with your tormenting thoughts. You're alone with your heavy burden. You're alone with disappointment and hurt. You are alone with your fear. Alone with your doubt, alone with your failures. But wait a minute, you are not alone. He is Jehovah Rohi. He is the Lord your shepherd. And make note of it, the shepherd never ever leaves the sheep alone. Not one, not any. Jehovah Rohi. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the setting of the name, which I have been doing in describing David in a page of his life. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. There, as I mentioned, he began to see what he was as the shepherd to his sheep. God was no less to him. God was the shepherd. What was David thinking of as his relationship to his own sheep? David knew, first of all, he never left his sheep alone. His brothers, when David went to take them food in that Goliath incident, his brother tried to accuse him of that. They said, you've left those sheep alone. He said, oh no, for I left them. I made sure somebody was tending to them. Amen. David knew that he never left his sheep alone, ever. David knew that he always sought out the missing sheep. David knew as a shepherd, whenever he made his count and one of the sheep were missing, David knew he immediately began to search for that sheep. David knew that he made sure that his sheep were nurtured, that they were fed, that they were watered. Not one time, but every day, David made sure those sheep had food. He made sure they had water. Amen. He made sure they had a green pasture and a still water. David knew that with his sheep, he would do his utmost to keep them and lead them through treacherous territory. If they had to change fields, David knew he wasn't going to let those sheep make it to the next field on their own, but he would lead them through the worst of terrain to get them there. Oh, David knew something else. He knew that he tended their ever injury, their ever sickness, their ever hurt. When David looked across the field, there is an injured sheep. He took that sheep. He applied the ointments. There's a sheep that's sick. David did everything he could to nurse that sheep back to wholeness and health. But David knew something else. He knew he protected his sheep. You let any predator come against a sheep. David was there with the staff. David was there to protect his sheep. And David began to contemplate all that he did for his sheep. And he came to the point of this great awareness. Oh Lord, the shepherd I am to these sheep. Lord, you're that shepherd to me. The Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi. Amen. What is the significance of this name? I want us to think of this. This is so very, very important in our study, knowing the names of God. We've had many compounds of this Jehovah and understood what they have meant. Jehovah means I am. And then we learned about Jehovah Jireh. I am the God that provides. Then we learned about Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that heals. And we learned about Jehovah Nisi. I am the Lord God, your banner, the one that fights your battle. And then we learned Jehovah Emkadesh. I am the Lord that sanctifies you. And then we learned Jehovah Shalom. I am the God, your peace. And last week, Jehovah Tsidkenu. I am the Lord, your righteousness. Those are wonderful. Those are great. Those are mighty. But they have one thing in common. Amen. It's what God does for us. What God does for us. But today, Jehovah Rohi is different. It's not about what God does for us. It's about the relationship God has with us. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Rohi. Amen. The Rohi comes from Roeh. Roeh means to feed or lead to pasture. But the very interesting thing about this word that means to feed or lead to pasture, it was also the word used for a close companion, a close friend. We don't make that connection. Shepherd, close friend, close companion. But they did in their culture. Somehow they used the same word for shepherd. They used it for a close friend and a close companion. They also used this word for the relationship between a leader and his people, his followers. Therefore, when David said Jehovah Rohi, he was saying more than just God is my shepherd. He was saying God is my friend who is my shepherd. God is my leader who is my companion. I've got a relationship with him, and it's a close relationship. So far through all this revelation of the names of God, we have seen Jehovah revealed as all-powerful, Jehovah revealed as mighty, Jehovah revealed as holy. So holy, how do we approach him? We have seen Jehovah as transcendent, above it all, beyond it all, what we puny humans are not. But now, Jehovah Rohi, we see God as our friend and our companion, who is also our guide and our leader. Hallelujah. Oh, what a relationship that we can say with David. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Let's just stop and praise him. He's a God who has sought out that relationship with us. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. David noted this relationship with Jehovah existed between a holy God and unworthy people. And yet the holy God would be shepherd to the unholy, the people. One of the greatest epiphanies a person can have was stated by the psalmist in Psalms 100. When I was young, that was one of the first ones children would memorize.
Amen. But in verse 3 of Psalm 100, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and what? What? We are the sheep of His pasture." Oh, hallelujah. Jehovah Rohi, from the time that David sang it, from the time that David played it, from the time that David wrote it, "The Lord is my shepherd," it struck a note. It resounded harmony and melody in the hearts of people. From that time, Old Testament and New Testament, the people of God found tremendous comfort, tremendous help, tremendous strength. In fact, their hearts thrilled to say it, but they took up what David said. He wasn't the first to say it. Amen. I mean, he wasn't the last to say it. He might have been the first, but after he said it, every saint of God has found so much help, so much strength in being able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." You can say it if you're 12. You can say it if you're 92. You can say it all the way in between. You can say it in the good times. You can say it in the bad times. You can say it in health. You can say it in sickness. You can say it in the day. You can say it in the night. Amen. You can say it on the mountain. You can say it in the valley. You can say it through the shadow of death. "The Lord is my shepherd, the companion who shepherds me." Psalm 80, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that leadeth Joseph like a flock." One of the most tender passages is Isaiah 40:11. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." Listen, "He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." Listen, "and shall gently lead those that are with young." Listen, moms. I said, listen, moms. Listen, young moms. Even this is a picture of when a mother sheep, a ewe, has a baby. Amen. She requires some special attention. You don't take off quite as fast. Amen. Amen. There's a lamb that needs protected too. But look what he said. A special note here. "He will gently lead those with young." What about it, mom? I said, what about it, mom? He's just expressed a special relationship with you. You that have young children, he's expressed a special relationship. He will gently lead those that are with young. Do you hear me? Amen. He will gently lead those who are with young. You're concerned about your children. Maybe they're not young. He'll gently lead those who have children. Ezekiel 34, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day." Amen. Do you know, without God, people are like sheep without a shepherd. Amen. Jesus said it in Mark 6. He went out, came out, and saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep without a shepherd, not having a shepherd. Amen. That's how God looks at folks that don't know Him. He looks at them as sheep without a shepherd. They're vulnerable. They're wide open to attack. They don't know what to do. They're lost. They don't know where to go. They're without a guide. But could I tell you all about this Jehovah Rohi? Amen. For once and for all, to show to this world that He, God, is truly our shepherd. He sent His Son Jesus in the very flesh of humanity to proclaim indisputably that He, God, is Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd. And so on that day, we read in John 10, Jesus stood before that crowd and He said, I am the good shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. There wasn't a Jew there that missed what he was saying. I am Jehovah, shepherd, Rohi. Jesus said to them, this Jehovah Rohi that your father David sang about, this Jehovah Rohi that your father David wrote about, I am he. I am Jehovah Rohi. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, I'm talking about the significance of his name. Look at this verse 11 before we go on. Go back to verse 11 if you can for just a moment. He said, I am the good shepherd. But what did he say just before that? Don't turn it. Well, okay, that's fine. Keep you looking here. It's one of the most famous verses that we like to quote that Jesus said. But a lot of times we leave out the shepherd context. He said, I am the good shepherd. But what did he say just before that? Okay, thank you. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. But I'm the good shepherd. What's he saying? All of a sudden it hits us, the significance of what he's saying. I am the good. How does that fit? I'm the good shepherd, the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's go back to great, 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 great grandpa David. David said, I was watching my sheep, and a bear came out against them. Did David turn and run? Did David leave the sheep to the bear? No, David jumped between the sheep and the bear and defeated that predator that had come against the sheep. David said, another day I was watching the sheep and a lion came out against him. Would David run? Did David leave the sheep to their own defenses? No, you know the story. David jumped between the sheep and the lion and with the help of God defeated that lion. Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm the good shepherd. Could I tell you what happened? The lion came out against us to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus stepped between us and the lion and defeated the lion, defeated the bear. Oh, can you say amen? Jesus jumped between us and the lion. Jesus jumped between us and our sin. Jesus jumped between us and the cross. Oh, can you say amen? He is the good shepherd. Oh, Jehovah Rohi. Hebrews chapter 13, not only is he the good shepherd, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I want to tell you something very, I'm going to summarize the book of Hebrews and tell you something very marvelous that was impossible even for David. Here's the wondrous thing about Jesus Christ. He wasn't just the shepherd. Jesus was the lamb that became the shepherd. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came as a lamb to die. Never forget that. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, never forget it. When you say Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd was first our lamb. He was the one who died as the substitute for our sins. Oh, I'm telling you, church, the lamb, I said the lamb has become my shepherd. 1 Peter says, for you were all as sheep going astray, but now you returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. The new gospel's got us off track. It acts like the shepherd is here just for our physical needs, the needs of our body, our health, our material well-being, and certainly he is concerned and involved in all of that. But look what Peter says. First and foremost, he's not the shepherd of our retirement account. He's not the shepherd of our wealth and health. First and foremost, He is the shepherd of our souls, the inner person of who we are. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's the shepherd of our souls because He has come to lead us all the way to eternal life and to heaven. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. What's the sermon from this name that we're going to take from here? I drew the picture of it, but the first thing we need to take from here is He has, to the point of death, protected us that we might have eternal life. I said, to the point of death, our shepherd has protected us. John chapter 11 again, He's the good shepherd. But we never forget, the good shepherd doesn't just do it, He did. He gave His life for the sheep. Oh, think about it. I said the good shepherd gave His life for the sheep. He bore the penalty of our sins. Second thing to take home with us, He's not just the shepherd of the flock. He is the shepherd of each sheep, each individual. Amen. David was emphatic. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just our shepherd, not just humanity's shepherd. David is clear. The Lord is my shepherd. That's individual. That is personal. Amen. Amen. You see, hallelujah, we got to be clear here. Amen. He is my shepherd if I let Him be. He is my shepherd if I say yes to Him. And the question this morning across this house and others who may hear this message, He is the shepherd, but have you made Him your shepherd? Have you let Him be your shepherd? Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? Something else to take home with us. As the shepherd, He knows your name. Oh, hallelujah. He's my shepherd. It's not just a nameless flock. Amen. He knows my name. He knows your name. Oh, come on, church. I said the shepherd knows your name. You say, oh, I just came here new today. He knows your name. You don't know the neighborhood I live in. He knows your name. You don't know what my family's like. He knows your name. You don't know where I've come from. He knows your name. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He knows. How do you know that? Because He told us. John chapter 10, to Him the portereth open, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He didn't just say, come on, flock, let's go. But when He left, He called the name of every sheep. Glory to God. I'm telling you, He knows how to do that. I know I'm preaching to a congregation, but He knows how to do something beyond the preaching. I'm preaching one message, but He knows how to call your name. I said, He knows how to call your name. He may be calling your name right now. Oh, He's a good shepherd. He calleth them all by name. Amen. He also said, amen, in verse 14, by calling us by name, that means He knows us. He's acquainted with us. He is familiar with us. He said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. Amen. I know my sheep and am known of mine. He can call us by name because He knows us. I mean, we get a little concerned about that. Pastor, don't you know there's 7 billion people? Yes, sir, but I know something else. There's more stars than there are people, and He's got every star named. If He's got every star named, He's got every person named too. Oh, hallelujah. You take me out tonight, point out, and say, what's the name of that star? If you point to the North Star, I'm in business. If you point to any other, I'm in trouble. I won't know, but I'm telling you, I can point to any human in this world, red and yellow, black and white, any ethnicity, any country. I can point at him, and God will say, that's so-and-so. I'm telling you, He's intimately acquainted with you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the Good Shepherd knows you by name. Oh, can you say amen? I thought it was interesting when my older children were way up in years, about 9 and 8. We were having a discussion. And I don't know how it came up, but Sandra said, well, what's daddy's first name? And they said, brother.
Another one said, Pastor. Brother Hurst, Pastor Hurst. They were shocked when I had the same name as the big red dog. But I want to tell you something, not trying to be humorous. In very intimate times with the Lord, when He has spoken to my heart, He never called me pastor, He never called me brother. When He spoke to my heart, He always called me Clifford. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. And I'm waiting for Him to call me Cliff. Because when people say, what should I call me? I say, well, call me Clifford, but my close friends call me Cliff. Amen. Just don't call me Cliffy. I'm waiting to the time it gets close enough He can call me Cliff. You say, you're speaking figuratively. No, it's more than that. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows my name, which means He knows me. How many's going to take that? I know you know that and knew that, but how many's going to take that with you today? The Lord knows your name. If He knows your name, He probably knows your address too. Probably knows you. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. He probably knows the struggle you're having right now too, don't you think? He probably knows the fear that you have, the doubt, the help you need. Don't you think He knows all that? I know I got to go on, but I just felt led. We need to stay there a while. Let me tell you something else to take home. Please hear me across the building. Sheep without a shepherd do not survive. Sheep without a shepherd do not survive. Let me tell you one reason. I could speak of a plethora of things here, but let me tell you one reason. There are predators. I said, there's predators in this world. And both Jesus and Paul told us something that is going to be very deceptive, especially in the last days. Both of them said there will come false teachers and prophets. How? How are they going to come? In, someone say it, in sheep's clothing. I'm one of you. I'm a child of God. I preach the truth. Jesus put it this way. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. This may not be popular, but I want to tell you something. Some have a huge television audience and sell books that are in the Christian bookstore. But by that word right there, they have the sheep's clothing, but they're a false teacher. They're a raven. Let me tell you something about the shepherd. He knows the difference between a genuine sheep and a wolf and sheep's clothing. And if you will walk with the Lord, the shepherd will let you know when it's a wolf and sheep's clothing. How many just believe that without the shepherd, the sheep do not survive? Let's take this, one or two more things and we'll quit. Let's take this home with us. A shepherd is to be followed. A shepherd is to be followed. Look what it says in verse 4 of that John chapter 10, that great chapter. He putteth forth his own sheep and he goeth before them. And what? The sheep follow him. You know, I had the privilege, the Leitners, who you all know, for many years, they were missionaries on the Navajo Reservation, way out from town, way out in the desert, right on the border of Arizona and New Mexico. I loved it as a kid. I went wild right out there on the reservation. But I can still to this day, as clear as it was a picture hanging on my wall in the house, I can see those Navajo Indians out there on the desert with their flock of sheep, leading them from pasture, to water, or from water. And I still remember what my uncle pointed out all those years ago, Brother Leitner. He said they still do it like they do in Bible times. Did in Bible times. I said, what do you mean? He said, today a lot of folks raise sheep. They drive them. Now they got a four-wheeler, or they got a dog, or they do it themselves. They drive sheep where they want to go. But he said in Bible times, the shepherd had such an intimate relationship with the sheep, knew them all by name. The shepherd led him.
and you'd look at those Navajo Indians, and they weren't behind the sheep driving. I don't know how they do now, but that's why when I was a kid back in the 60s, you looked out there across the desert. I can still remember some of their names. I got to go on. Anyway, I still remember one Navajo word. I remember it because I used it against my sister a whole lot. You'll have to ask me later. I don't want to desecrate the moment. I mean, it wasn't a curse word or anything. It was just, you know, something a sibling would say to sibling. But I want to tell you something. Every time I saw that scene, I can see it right now. I can see my in the door of the mission there. I can see looking out there below the pond, see the Hogan out there, see the corral by the Hogan. And here comes that Navajo. He's not driving the sheep. They're following. I want to tell you why some folks aren't going to make it. Because they're waiting for God to drive them. They're set in their ways. They're stubborn in their sin. And they're not moving. But I want to tell you, he doesn't drive his sheep. He calls them. And then the decision is theirs. Are they going to follow? Are they going to follow? I want to tell you something. You can't drive people to do right. It's never in their hearts that way. They'll never make it that way. The only way you can do the real thing, the right way, is to hear the shepherd's voice and to follow him. Hallelujah. How many wants to, well, what do we sing? Trust and obey? How many wants to be a sheep that hears his voice and follows him? Do I still have you with me this morning? How many wants to follow the shepherd? Amen. Sheep are to be followed. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. A shepherd counted his sheep. We know that from the parable. A certain shepherd had 100 sheep, but 99 were still in the corral, but one was missing. How did he know that? He counted those sheep. I want you to know there's something very true, and I'm not just trying to be rhetorical here, but if he counts sheep, you count. You matter. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to know you matter to the heavenly shepherd. I want to tell you something else. Amen. You matter to this shepherd. Amen. Amen. You count. Amen. Already my heart is heavy for some that are not here. And it's not the weather and it's not sickness. It's some other reason. Amen. I just want to encourage everybody. Only way we're going to make it is to be sheep who follow. I said sheep who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. He's not just a shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and the sheep that hear his voice will follow him. And so I beseech you, don't leave his flock. We know in his grace, hear me, I'm about done, but hear me. If you leave his flock, he'll come looking for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. Don't leave his flock because some sheep don't want to be found. Some lost sheep don't want to be discovered. Some lost sheep in their sin and self-will don't want to be back in the corral. And so don't leave his flock. He'll come looking. But you may not want to be found once you left. Hallelujah. One last thing. Let's take this home with us about Jehovah Rohi, the good shepherd. With Jesus as your shepherd, you are eternally secure. You may not have thought I'd ever preach that, but I'm going to preach it this morning. If he is your shepherd, you are eternally secure. Let me give it to you in his words. Same chapter. John chapter 10. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, we cannot forget the context is shepherd and sheep. And he said, if we're in his hand, nobody and nothing can take us from his hand and his Father's hand. And it doesn't matter how you look at it. That means we are eternally secure. But there's one thing, it's not an asterisk, it's an important point I must make. He said no man can take us out of his hand. No demon can take us out of his hand. Nobody in the world can take us out of his hand. But he never said we couldn't leave his hand. You see, you cannot ignore the whole context of where it said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. I'm secure in his hand as long as I'm following him, the shepherd. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know it? I said, I am eternally secure. That's the whole context. As long as I'm following him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. He's not leading us in circles. I said, he's not leading us in circles. If you follow him, let me tell you the last thing I want to tell you. If you follow him, you're going to make it. Oh, I'm having tough times. Are you following him? You're going to make it. Oh, it's rough. Are you following him? You're going to make it. I'm hurting. Are you following him? You're going to make it. I'm being tempted. Are you following him? You're going to make it. Oh, you don't know the trial. Oh, follow him, because he's not leading us in circles. He's leading. How do you know that? The Lord is my shepherd, David said. But he ended with, surely I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what's on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. It's his house. Hallelujah. The Lord is my... Yes, he leads me to the green pastures. Yes, he leads me to the still waters. Yes, he leads me through the trench. But I'm telling you where he's leading me. He's leading me to the Father's house. Oh, hallelujah. Are you following him? You're secure. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you come, music? Hallelujah. Jehovah Rohi. I said one more thing, but one more thing. Close to the end of the book, we read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. I want to point this out to you. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Now, I've got to point out, we don't see this in English, but you can look it up. The same word used for feed right here is the same word that's translated shepherd. And one more time, before the Bible ends, we are told our Lamb has become our shepherd. He has led us through the wilderness of this earth, but now in heaven, the Lamb, the one who died for us, is still our shepherd. And there before his throne, he will feed us and lead us to living fountains of waters, and shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. That's the end of those who follow the shepherd. I had three ways I wanted to give the appeal, but right now in my heart, I'm just settling on this simple one. In Bible times, a lamb was born. They didn't brand, but every shepherd had a certain cutting he would make on the sheep's ear to mark it as his sheep. That lamb was born into that shepherd. It got that mark. Sometimes a lamb would stray from the flock. The shepherd would search and look, unable to find it. But every once in a while, it came market day, animal auction, livestock auction. And the shepherd would go, and even though it had been a lamb when it was lost, and now it's a full-grown sheep, by that mark on its ear, the shepherd would recognize, that's my sheep on the auction block. He'd say something to the auctioneer. And the auctioneer says, I'm sorry, that's not my problem, my situation. This person brought it to the auction. As far as I'm concerned, it's their sheep. And that sheep's going for the highest price. And that shepherd, looking at that mark, it says, that's my sheep. He'd keep bidding, Brother Norvell, and the bids would go high. But he would always make sure he had the highest bid and bought back his own sheep. You already know what this is all about. When you were born, you were the creation of God. You were his. You know, the sad thing, and I don't want to stretch this, but it's true. I keep thinking of it. The sad thing is I've seen people wander away from the flock, away from God, away from the church. As a young person, in 5 or 10 years, it's not just because they had age, but because of sin and the ravages of sin and the life they live. You see them on the street and you struggle to recognize them. There's so much difference between they were when they were in His flock and when they left His flock. But we were all that way. All we, like sheep, are gone astray. Oh, but we had His mark on us. We were His by creation. I said we were His by being fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm telling you, one day, amen, when we were not found by the Savior, we were found by the enemy of our soul, Satan. One day we were put on an auction block. Amen. But thank God, amen, there was one who came and He kept bidding higher and He kept bidding higher until He bid His own blood. But when it was all said and done, He bought back His own sheep. I said, it's true for everyone. He bought back His own sheep. I'm talking about the good shepherd. I said, He bought back. Do you know we're twice His now? We're His because we were born into the created human family. But we are His because we have been purchased with the price. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, marvel. It's not convoluted. It's wonderful. The shepherd purchased us with His own blood. Hallelujah. As the Lamb of God. Would you stand and praise Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him. Why don't you just say it? Jehovah Rohi. I know it may sound foreign to your ears, but just go ahead and say it. Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel compelled to give an appeal this way, really, at the first here. It takes the time of honesty, but that's the only time we get close to God is when we're honest. How many would say this morning, I feel so intensely in my heart that He's my shepherd, but I also recognize something if I'm honest. I haven't been following Him like I should. If that's you this morning, without any other hesitation, if that's you, would you come to these steps that we use as an altar? God's talking to you. The shepherd's calling your name. I said, the shepherd's calling your name, but you haven't been following. And in just a moment of honesty, you say, I'm tired of this. I'm going to follow the shepherd. I'm going to follow the shepherd. I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd. Amen. Is that you anywhere over the building? You'd be honest at this moment. Amen. I haven't been following the shepherd. Are there others you want to come right now? You're just going to be honest. The shepherd's called my name. I've heard the shepherd's voice, but I've not been following like I ought. Amen. I believe there's others if you just be honest right now. Today, I'm going to say yes to His voice like I've never said yes. I'm going to tell Him, I'm going to follow You. Are you here? Anyone else? Amen. Would some begin to come pray with this brother right here? But are there others, young and across the building, you would say, that's me. I've heard His voice, but I haven't been following. I heard His voice, but I haven't. Oh, He's the good shepherd. He'll lead you through, but you got to follow. He'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's a young man over here. Someone come and pray with this young man. I said, He'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll step between you and the lion, but you got to be following. He'll keep you secure in His hand, but you got to be following. Anybody else? Amen. You hear His voice, but you haven't been following as you ought. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many in the building would lift a hand to say, I have heard His voice? I'm talking about hearing the voice of the good shepherd. Have you heard His voice? Hallelujah. I want to invite you to come and pray. Maybe you want to pray for these. Maybe pray on your own. But would you come, church, and pray and say, I will follow. I'll continue to follow. I'll say yes, 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 yes to Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's hear His voice in the altars. Let's say yes to Him in the altars. You that have come, just pour out your heart to God. I'm hearing you, shepherd. I'm listening to you, shepherd. My ear is open. Oh, You're the shepherd of my soul. You're the shepherd of my soul. All You're doing, Lord, is watching out for my eternal soul. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus.
You're my refuge in the storm.